It's my honor this morning to introduce Pastor Henry. He's come all the way from Malawi. God sent him. He just doesn't know it. He thought he was coming to buy a car. And then it's become 5 days, and now it's 6 days. So I was like praying yesterday to preach, and God says, but I've got Pastor Henry here. So I must rather go and speak to him. So I went up to his room, and I said, Pastor, can you preach tomorrow? He says, Pastor, I haven't prepared, but I can preach on obedience. I can preach on obedience. I said, Pastor, that's good. We all need to know obedience that's got fruit. And there's lots of fruit in this pastor's life. He's planted more than 20 churches. This pastor only got saved when he was 30 years old. So if those of you who think God cannot use you, God has used him mightily. He's got amazing children. I met Emmanuel. He's such a servant. They've got such servant hearts, the Malawian people. I think we can all learn something from Malawian people. All the Malawian people I know, this amazing hearts. They've got these big hearts. You know, they've got hearts for people and love for people. So I just want to honor you, Pastor Henry, and I'm excited to hear from you this morning. And I want to encourage you to open your heart. Cool.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Manas. From day one, I knew and I saw Pastor Manas. I keep on learning from him. Actually, it's not a lot of subjects, but I learned from him. Heart of quietness. He's so gentle. I'm not as gentle as he is. He's more gentle. I want to thank Pastor Manas and his family for hosting us. Actually, when we are coming, when I was coming, because Emmanuel was already in Cape Town, we are discussing, so I told him I would be with him two nights. That was my plan. I didn't call that God. Actually, as he has said, I was coming to buy a car. It's a family car, but also that can be used in ministry. And when I arrived, I was very much eager straight away to go on the market and buy so that I can go back home. So first day, we didn't get the car because I had the car in my heart. It's the very same car I had in Malawi when Pastor Fred was with us in Malawi. So I was looking for that particular type. And then I spoke to Thomas because Thomas was the one who was taking us to all the places where I can get this car. I said, Thomas, we have failed to get the car I want today, but I will pray that tomorrow the first shop will go. We must find the car there. And part two, I said, when I was praying, I said, God, this car must be anything up to $2,200, not more than that. So in the morning, Thomas comes, he picks me. And the first shop we went, KDG, we saw there were three cars. Toyota, Rangers. I said, that's the car. So I saw everything. Out of the three, my heart was sticking to the middle one. I said, this one, not those ones. I said, what about this pastor? No, this one. Fear came in my heart. How can the Lord do this? We only discussed yesterday. And this is exactly what the Lord has done to us. When it comes to pricing, they say it's $2,200. So Thomas is a good bargain. I know he's a businessman. So he helped me to bargain until we paid $2,100. So it was just in the limit where we discussed with God. I was very thankful to God. Now I felt, now we can start looking for a career. Tomorrow we are going back home. Go. That was tough. Every carrier we found, it was that. It was not going to Maputo, it was going to Chirundu. We try this, we try left and right, left. Eventually, we bump into somebody else, we pay the money, but it's not the right carrier. So we had there and get back the money. Now, me and my son, Emma, we are disappointed. We wanted to be home this week. What is happening? Little now said, no, I think there is something somewhere, it is wrong, something somewhere. Then I was engaged in prayer, seeking the face of God. I discovered it was God who did not allow us to leave for home. But for what reason, I didn't understand. Until last night, when I had a dream, it's when I understood that God kept us here for a purpose. I'm yet to know why. For a purpose. Which purpose? I'm yet here to know for that purpose. But anyway, to cut the story short, tomorrow I think we are going. Thank you, Pastor Manas. Pastor Manas is a gift to the church. Am I right? And you see, when we talk of a gift, it's something you don't expect, you don't work for, you don't buy. You just receive free. Am I right? So this reminds me, my son Emmanuel gave me a gift. Sons also can give gift to the father. He gave me a gift, a long pant. And when he gave me that day, I remembered that for 5 years, I've been trusting God for that type of long pant. Should I tell you what it is? It's these jeans that blue, blue, completely blue, but I couldn't buy. But when he bought, he said he was buying it for himself. He discovered it was oversized. Then, when he checked with me, he found that the size he bought, it was my right size. So when I got it, I said, thank you, Lord. Long at last, I've got what I've been desiring for 5 years. Can you just imagine? Trusting God for a long pant for 5 years is crazy. But that is... So I look after it so well. This time when we met, he saw I was putting it on. He looked and said, so Dad, you like it? I said, very much. I'm proud of that gift. You as a church must be proud of Manas and his family as a gift. Amen. As the pastor said this morning, the only thing that I'm going to talk, the easiest according to me, the toughest according to the global church, is obedience. And the message, I'll get it from Matthew 28, the last chapter, chapter 30. What's the last chapter in Matthew? I want to hear from you if you know your Bible. The last chapter is chapter 28, from verse 18 to 23 verses only. I've only been given 30 minutes, which is too hard for me. In Malawi, if I mean to say that I've preached so well, it's 1 hour 30 minutes. So I've been given one third of the time I used to preach in Malawi. But I will manage. I'll be just giving you hints on the verses. I don't want to disappoint my host, Pastor Manas. So before, this is not inclusive in the 30 minutes. The 30 minutes for the word. Before we open our Bibles, we can be looking for the chapter and the verse. There is somebody, I believe in this church, that somebody has pains in the right arm, and what is paining is not the muscles, it's the bones. They are paining from somewhere here, in between. And God was just speaking to me, say, God wants to touch that person. I don't want to touch that person, but God wants to touch that person and heal that pain. Can that person come in forward? I want to pray with that person. You see, when God commands you, you must do first things first. Second. When you preach a sermon, God will test you in what you preach. Every time. And be careful. Peter, you have preached about what you preach today. God will test you on that. So what I'll preach today, God will test me on that. So this is the first test now. Am I to be obedient to what the small voice has spoken to me? Do I trust God for that voice that is God? And for you to trust somebody you don't know, it's difficult. But because I know God, that's why I trust this is God. Because that pain is not in me. I'm never sick. God healed me some years backwards. But this has come. God uses the word of wisdom to let me know there is a person that has that problem. So your eyes should be fixed to God, not Pastor Henry. Pastor Henry without God is useless, is nothing. Amen. You heard Pastor Manas, he said something. He said, well, but I want just to put it 100% right. He said, well, but I want to put it 100% right. He said, I've planted many churches. That's why I want to put it right. God, through me, we have planted many churches. Are we okay? God, through me, we have planted many churches. Paul somewhere said, we are partners to God. You understand the word partner? If Peter is running a business, actually he's a doctor, he's running a business of hospital, then he invites me to say, Pastor, can you do accounts in my hospital? We are partners, work in his hospital. So we share the profits or what? What do you call? I'm not a businessman. So God, through me, we have planted many churches. I thank God for what he has done. Without him, I could not plant even a single church. Amen. I don't have time to share my testimony because the 30 minutes to me is very little. Next time when I come, I shall share you my testimony. It's quite fiery, but don't worry. This is my fourth time to be found in Durban. The first time I preached in Durban amongst the Zulu people, it was 1994 in Empangen. You know where Empangen is? That's where I preached from Genesis chapter 32. Jacob wrestles with the angel of God. And I love the Zulu people so much, they are more or less Malawians. And when I'm amongst them, I'm very safe because I know I can understand their language. Somewhere, African language, there is somewhere we meet. So the second time, it was in 1997, I preached in Richards Bay at a community church, 1997-98. And lastly, I was in this church. I didn't preach, but I enjoyed the message Pastor Manas shared with me. That was the time he was hidden here in my heart. Every time I see him, I need to be closer to him. Shortly, we are there at Franschhoek, at the Pastor Summit. Always we are, you know, together sharing a lot of things. But I love him so much. You see, God draws you closer to somebody for his divine purpose. When that purpose is finished, he takes you to another one. Whenever God draws you closer to somebody, there is a divine purpose. You must check out. Amen? Not check in as an aeroplane flight, but check out. So, let me read what we are going to discuss today. Actually, I'll be discussing verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. My Bible says, I'm reading from NIV Bible. All authority in heaven. No. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The last verse. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Let me repeat something here. Teaching them to obey everything. No, I think my Bible is wrong. Teaching them to obey some other things. Is it so? Teaching them to obey some other things. That's what my Bible, I read wrong. Some other things. It says, teaching them to obey some other things. Is it so in your Bible? What does it say in your Bible? I think somebody made a mistake here. Oh, my eyes is a problem. Teaching them to obey everything. Can we say everything? When is obedience obedience? I'll answer that question. When is obedience obedience? Obedience comes from the word obey. How will I know that my son Emmanuel has obeyed? When I send him to do, let's say, if I say, clean the car. If he says, yes, daddy, but he never goes there to clean the car. Has he obeyed? He hasn't obeyed. Okay. When I say, Emmanuel, clean the car, and he says, yes, daddy. Then after 30 minutes or an hour, I see that the car is clean. It looks almost brand new. Then that is obedience. He has obeyed my command and he has done the work. So obedience is after you hear the command, then you put some action on that command. That becomes obedience. So our Lord Jesus Christ here is, he says, all authority. All means all. It doesn't mean half. Has been given to Jesus. Now, he's commanding every believer. This message is only going to the believers, as it is today. He's commanding every believers, not only church leaders, not only pastors, not only the pastor's wife, but he's commanding all believers. He said, go ye into the world. The world is not only Durban. It's not only South Africa. Think of the world. Think of DRC, where Thomas comes from. Think of Namibia. Think of Swaziland. Think of Malawi. Think of Mali. Some of the countries, you may not know them. I know them by heart. Think of Mozambique. Think of Kenya. Think of Uganda. Think of Mozambique. Think of Swaziland. Think of all countries you may mention. Czechoslovakia. Think of Slovakia. Think of Jesus has given you the mandate to go to those countries and make disciples. I thank God that Shofar is in the business of making disciples. It's inclusive in the vision. This is what the Shofar is doing. Passion. What? Okay? Shofar is in the business of making disciples. How do you make disciples? It's another subject. I don't have time to explain that. But the question is now, do we really go out, or we feel comfortable to stay in and listen to the message Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, Wednesday after Wednesday? After that, we go for a cup of coffee. Then we go to our homes and stay and say, today's message was very powerful. The preacher preached such a very powerful message. I enjoyed it. I wish you could be there the whole day. Paul, he preached a message the whole night that made somebody to fall off the window and almost died, Utiko. But we thank God for the Spirit of God. He went down, he reached at him, he came back to life. The problem is when people, they only receive the word, they don't practice, they don't do what they are doing, something results. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. The Bible says, when you disobey, they have listed the outcome. They have listed the outcome. I don't have enough time. They say, you get cursed. Eh? If you disobey, you get cursed. Am I right or am I wrong? Can someone read it? Open Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Only verse 15. And somebody should it open Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. One person should open Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. The other one should open Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. I want to shed light on these things. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, what does it say?
But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you.
All these curses will come upon you. Who is saying that word? Is it Pastor Henry? If you do not carefully obey the word of God and do all these curses, and when you check there from verse 16, there are a lot of curses than the blessings on Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 to verse 14. Verse 1, who has found verse 1? Somebody who is ready? Yes, verse 1.
Yeah. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth.
Thank you. It goes far beyond that. If you carefully obey the Lord your God, will set you high. Are we together? Will set you? When God says he will set you high, he will set you higher. In every country, they say the first citizen and the highest person is the president. Are we right? But God will set you above him. I know some are not believing, but this is the truth about the Bible. If you carefully obey and do what the word of God, God will set you above the Jacob Zuma, above Peter Wamutarika in my country. I'll be above him. Which means you are going to have the authority that Jesus has given you. You will speak to him, that said the Lord, and you obey. I love Elijah. He goes to King Ahab and says, I speak for 3 years, there will be no rain. For 3.5 years, there will be no rain. And it was so. And he said, until I speak. You see, as men of God, we have got the voice of God. We have got that authority that Jesus was given on earth and heaven to speak to the creation. Are we all right? What have I done to my sister? Only in less than a minute or two. What have I done? Nothing. I only reminded Jesus, this is what you told us. I'm trusting you, you must do your word. And Jesus has done his word, because Jesus cannot deny his word. Him and his word are one. So, what Jesus has done is, yes, I spoke, I said, by the stripes of Jesus, the people are healed. She must be healed, otherwise the people will prove me wrong. So, Jesus removed that pain. So easy. The same power Jesus has used to deliver my sister is the same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave. I teach at the Bible school. I always ask this question. Which is the biggest miracle? If you consider of miracle, which is the biggest miracle? Raising the dead and the salvation of humankind. People, they look at death, they say, so raising the dead is the biggest. I said, you are wrong. The biggest miracle is the salvation of human being. Because a person, when he is not saved, he will be in hell forever. You cannot get healed, but if you are saved, you enter heaven. I don't know if I make myself clear. You can be saved and not get healed, but you enter heaven. You can get saved, you can be healed and not be saved, you enter hell. So the biggest miracle is the salvation of human being. So obedience is difficult. When you think it with human understanding, it's much difficult. It's a choice that a person has to make, either to obey God or not to obey God. But whatever choice you make, there are consequences. The word consequence, it means there are results. If you choose to disobey, Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 has explained itself clearly. If you choose to obey God, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 has spoken to us very clearly. Now, obedience has some elements that together, for you to obey God, there are elements that accompany obedience. Number one element is faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsake all in take him. F, forsake. A, all. I. T, take. H, him. We are through with faith. The opposite of faith, the devil will try his level best to say, no, that is not right. The devil draw fear to you. Say, no, you have not heard from God. That is you. It's not from God. He could as well do to me, say, no, it's the pain in you. It's not somebody in this church. It's the pain in you. He draws fear to you. Now fear, it means, fear is an abbreviation. Okay? False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That false evidence, it looks is real. This is true. When it is not true, it's false one. So, faith will help you to obey God. Faith in whom? Jesus. Amen. The Savior. But for you to have faith in Jesus, your relationship must be so intact. You must know him. Okay? If you don't know Jesus, the faith that you have is that one of the world. It's not the faith, the divine faith. So because you know Jesus, you trust him. Because you know him, you draw closer to him. When he speaks, you trust him. When you trust him, you are bound to do what he tells you. Second enemy to obedience and belief. UNBELIEF and belief. And belief is when you know the word, but you don't believe it. Okay? 1 Peter 2:24. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. The Bible does not say we are healed, because it's something that was done 2,016 years ago. 2,016 years ago, Jesus was on the cross. Right there, he said, it is finished. He brought healing and deliverance to human being. So for 2,016 years, that healing has been there. That's where the Bible says, you were healed. We were healed. So you know the word very well. It says so, but you don't believe it, that it can what? It can work today. You say it worked in the times of the apostles, not now. We are still continuing to write the book of Acts. So, you must believe that what this word says is true, and it is going to happen exactly what it came for. Remember, Isaiah chapter 55 says, the word of God shall not come from God to us and return to him void without accomplishing what it has come for. When I got saved as a Catholic, my biggest problem is I didn't know the Bible. Because at that time, we are not allowed to read the Bible. I don't know these days. We are reading a booklet whereby the publishing house of the Catholic congregation, they were extracting the favorable scriptures which they wanted people to know. So we are reading that book, a small one. It was called, in our language, Chitsime. It means the well. So when I got saved again, I had that big hunger for the word. It was as if I had stayed for 5 days without food. So I needed to know the word. As a result, because I needed to know the word, I was visiting each and every place where there was drum beating, singing choruses, so that I could hear the word. At the same time, I was the first candidate when they announced in the church to go through the Bible school. I raised my hand to go through the Bible school, so that I could know the word. I didn't go to the Bible school because I wanted to be a pastor. If there is a thing I hated most, is to be a pastor. To this day, I'm not happy that I'm a pastor. Why pastor? Can you ask me that question? Say, why pastor? I saw with my naked eyes the problems men of God went through. Caring for the flock is not easy. It's the toughest job. If I struggle to care for my wife, Louise, and my 6 children, what about all these people? It's hell. So I was not ready for that. I was not ready to take a risk. But I saw pastors also, they were lacking, L-A-C-K-I-N-G, lacking, having no things that they need to use in their family. They don't have food. They don't have clothes. They don't have proper house. I said, no, I'm not prepared. I'm ready to continue working, because I was working after high school. I was working a good job, earning money. I said, Lord, if there's a thing I need, I can do. Leave me to work, then I support the pastors. I love to support the pastors, and I enjoy, to this hour, I enjoy supporting men of God. I enjoy it very much. I even told God, I know you are calling me to resign my work, but I'm not prepared. I'm sorry. That's why it took me 3.5 years. I was struggling with God. I said, God, give me that I can give. God said, I've given you, but at the same time, I want you that I can use you. I struggled, but you know, in this battle, fighting with God, you never win. You always lose. I lost the battle. That's why my son Emmanuel, also, he has got a calling, but he's struggling also, because he sees his daddy, how he struggles in the ministry. But I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God. Here I am. I'm a pastor. I love people in my heart. The only thing that I appreciate, that God has placed people in my heart. If there is a thing that I pray for always, is the salvation of human beings. They should be saved. I don't fast for a car. I don't fast for material things. Never. Because I discovered a scripture in the Bible. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. So things like these things, what, good people, big number of church, what, God adds to me as I pursue his righteousness. My job is I must pursue his righteousness. A short testimony about this car. I haven't worked for it. I haven't got money. I didn't even plan for the car. But God used a person here in South Africa, a pastor for that matter, but name withheld. He heard from God. Give Henry your car. He had only one car. Give Henry your Toyota Raider. You know, I like big cars always. Small ones, no? Like the Thomas car, no? So, this pastor, of whom I'm not prepared, even if you bribe me, I will not tell you the name. He said, Lord, I'll give the car to Henry. Now, he remembered, if I give the car to Henry to drive it all the way from here to Malawi, it will cost him fuel, toll gates, what, a lot of money to pay. Let me sell, then I give him the money, he can buy the car in Malawi. That was it. Wisdom, eh? That was wisdom. So he did that. He was so honest. He comes to me and says, Pastor, this is what the Lord spoke to me. Here's the money. 70,000 rands. He gave me cash. He said, I'll change it to US dollar because I don't have to carry all that much travel with it. So he changed it to dollars. He gave me the dollars in Malawi. He gave me, when my wife was there, everybody was there to see. I said, may God bless you. I didn't kneel down to him, so I'd worship you. I said, may God bless you. Then I went to God and said, but when he obeyed, 2 weeks later, somebody whom he doesn't know to this time went to a brand new dealer, car dealer, bought him a much beautiful and stronger car than the one he gave, paid everything, left with the owners of the dealers to phone him. Everything was done. They phone him. He says, no, that is not true. It's not true. Another week passed. The owner so calls him. Can you come and get your car? I want you to clear the space. We want to put some other cars. He goes and finds that it's a heavy machine, a big car. He takes it. Barely 2 weeks after he gave his car. Now, I searched for a car of my heart in Malawi. I couldn't find it. That's why I had to come down. And I got it here. And when I got it here, when we arrive, I will only rest for 2 days. We are going on missions locally. Because that car has to work. It has to come from the Lord. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto. Emmanuel, now I recall he has spoken over 3 times. He said, Daddy, this is a good car. I said, yes, son, this is a good car. So he asked me a question. He said, on Christmas, will you allow us as children to drive to the lake? I said, oh, yes. You are free. It belongs to you. And do you know what? Since last year, God has been pressing on my heart to come and do missions in Durban amongst the Zulu people. I took it as if it was just my mind. But this year, it was much stronger. So I said, God, I want to go to Durban and give us transport. Here's the transport. Plans, we have made them. We are coming August. We'll work amongst the Zulu. God, when he sends you, he makes provision. God has made the provision for fuel going and back. And he will bring the people, the right people, to do the work to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Obedience brings joy in you. It gives you peace. When you obey, you open many more doors. Let me conclude. I think the 30 minutes is almost over. Let me conclude by this word. Faith is the master key. It's a universal master key. It opens every door. Every door. Doors of prosperity. I don't want to preach a message of prosperity. I don't like it. Doors of healing. Doors of what? Doors of what? Faith. Obedience is second to faith. It opens each and every door. To yourself, to the neighbors, to the country, wherever. By the obedience of one man, the whole nations were saved. By the obedience of Jesus. By the obedience of one man, Jesus. All of us are saved. Through one person, you can change your community. Durban doesn't require 20 people. It requires somebody. And when I say somebody, that is singular. Who is obedient enough, the whole Durban can receive a miracle, can get transformed. We were praying. What day did you, were we praying there at the pastor's house? Tuesday. I'm saying it because I'm not ashamed to say it. God spoke to my heart. He want to raise one of the people at the sea, at the harbor, a rich guy there. He will raise him. He will bring him to himself. And he will use him to the glory of God himself. Check me with that word. You can even write it down. God is busy raising people. And that is one of the person, one of the richest at the harbor. Check out, find out, do Google, whatever you do, people. Find out who is that rich guy. Look closer to him. You see him walking, coming to the cross of Jesus. And God will use what he has blessed him with to serve his kingdom, that people can be reached. Two things that are required, if not three, for the gospel to reach everywhere. There must be somebody with rands or US dollars or euro who knows Jesus and is humble enough to say, Lord, what belongs to me belongs to you. Secondly, there must be somebody who has been sent to declare the message, a preacher. Thirdly, there must be somebody interceding or praying. For Jesus to be born, there was Anna and Simon who were praying for over 50 years. They were fasting and praying for 50 years. Here comes Jesus to be dedicated. Simeon says, now, Lord, you can take me because my eyes have seen your promise. These were intercessors praying. God does the work of sending. He sends Jesus. Jesus does the work of proclamation of the message. Three people: God the Father, Jesus, and his prophets. We don't have to wait for the pastors to stand up. Wherever you are, you can respond this message. Go ye. You can go on your knees. You can go through your pocket. Amen. The problem is many have got wallets. We call this wallet. And women have got a purse. Can you show me your purse, please? Women, can you show me your purse? Because for men, I've shown them this is a wallet. In this wallet, there are so many compartments. There is a compartment of you people don't work with cash. You work with, we call ATM cards or business cards. But in Malawi, we have no problem because Malawi is a country that is full of liberty. You can work with cash as big as this thing. Nobody will take it away from you. That's why I worked with 4,800 US dollars from Malawi to here. And I managed to arrive. So, the problem that binds people is their wallet or purse. Can you put up your purse up there? Their purse or their wallet binds them when it comes to time of giving. These fingers are magic. Even in the pocket where eyes cannot penetrate. When it comes to give, the finger, they know this is 10 rand. This is 100 rand. This is 5 rand coin. This is 1 rand coin. They even know the cent. This is a 50 cents coin. Let's revisit the book of Acts. They said, the Christians, they brought all the things they gave to the feet of the apostles. Then it goes, there was nobody lacking amidst them. That challenges me. But are we serious? Is there anybody lacking amidst us? Where is our obedience to the word of God? Hallelujah. The other day I was challenged. I finished with this testimony. Is the 30 minutes over, Pastor? I don't want to offend you. We had a home cell around 5 before I was a pastor, but I was born again, spirit-filled. I was one of the leaders in the church where I belonged to. So when the members were assembling that day, I was seated on the veranda welcoming them, as you do everybody to your home. Come with this lady, dirty, very unclean lady with amputated one leg. She's walking on her sticks. Her cargo, I like that word, the cargo is, she's carrying her cargo here. She has tied around her cargo. Nobody deserves to see her because she's dirty. she comes and she says, I need food. That day, the food we had was the last one. Then I said, okay, fine. I told my wife, said, you remember we are eating in Sima, and Sima is Putu. So we didn't finish today. Can you give her that food and the relish? She said, yes, that's fine. Then, since it was dark, we were supposed to keep her overnight. Then I thought quickly, we'll keep her in the kitchen because we had a kitchen that had a door. We'll lock her. She'll be there. Eventually, God spoke to me. I heard from my spirit. I visited you, but you denied me. Then I changed. I said, oh, no. Then this must be Jesus now. He has transformed himself to be a poor person. I said, you are going to sleep inside our house. We had only one blanket at that time for me and my wife, and we had two children. The wives, the children, we cover them with we call a wrapper in our country, Chitenje, in Zambia. But I said, this is a special visitor. By the way, God has spoken to me. We prepared a place for her. We took our clothes, washed them, locked them in the bathroom. Then we took our blanket, my wife's blanket and my blanket, gave her to cover. Then we covered ourselves with our hands, our arms, that night. Till the morning. In the morning, some people gave us money to buy bread for the visitor, of which we did. There was change. She said, I'm going, said, you must take breakfast with us. After breakfast, this is the change from the money the people contributed for you. You must use it. She spoke one word, may God bless you. She left. I've never seen her again. That very same day, somebody, a laborer, quarry man who works on quarry stones, comes. He dreams, seeing my face. God says, go and give all the money you made yesterday, go and give this person. He comes again looking for me. After 4 hours, he found me. He gave me all what God commanded me. My sister from home comes all the way from home with a big basket with the flour, everything. We had almost everything. Obedience results into a blessing. A blessing evermore. It's not a lasting blessing. It's the blessing evermore. Let me conclude with Genesis 12:12. Genesis 12, I don't think it's verse 12. It must be verse 3 or 4. God said to Father Abraham, Abraham, I'm commanding you to leave your comfort zone. Go to the place where I'll show you. There, I'll bless you. That will become a blessing. Why does God bless us that we can become a blessing? God has blessed me with a car. That car can be a blessing to the Church of Jesus Christ. God blesses us that we become a blessing. Can we say that? Can we say God blesses me that I can become a blessing? So God continues. He's making a covenant now with Father Abraham. He says, whosoever blesses you, that I shall bless. And whosoever curses you, I, God, will curse him. Do you know that you cannot curse the Church of Jesus Christ? It is impossible to curse the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? The Church cannot be cursed. It's uncursable. Because whosoever tries to curse the Church, God will curse that person. Do you remember the story of Balak and Balaam? Where he was hired by the king? He was promised tons and tons of money in order to curse Israel? Do you know what happened? Because sin had entered his heart, his ears were blocked. He could not hear the voice of God. But his donkey heard the voice of God. He pushed the donkey. The donkey couldn't go. Then he pushed the donkey. The donkey said, Master, can you remind anywhere else I rejected transport for you to go? He said, nowhere except today. He said, if I try to go through this gate, I will be killed. There's an angel. The donkey speaking to the master. Are we together? Why God did block that? He blocked his prophet. Because he didn't want his prophet to curse Israel. You and I, when we start praying for Israel today, things are going to change completely for the best. We have to stand on the gap and pray for Israel. Israel means the blessed one. We are the Israel spiritual of God because we are blessed through our father Abraham. Jesus paid it all. Let me conclude by saying, brothers, the choice belongs to you. I don't know what God has spoken to your heart. I don't know what God will speak to your heart tonight. I don't know what God will do to you, but the choice belongs to you. God forces nobody. He gives you a chance to choose. Hallelujah. But mine is obedience. Let's obey to his voice. When he spoke me to come to Durban for missions, I said, God, I'll do. Whether it takes me to walk, it takes me months and months, I'll do. But God, because he's a God of order and he's a faithful God, that's why he spoke to somebody to provide a transport, to give a car. And let me tell you, he will even provide us a good home where we are going to stay for that whole week in August. He will even save people because he has already prepared the people's hearts in Durban. Obedience brings joy to the whole community. By the obedience of one person, a country becomes blessed. I want to pray. Father, I've spoken your word. I believe you gave me this word that I can speak to my heart as well as to the hearts of my dear sisters and my dear brothers. I don't know them best, but you do, because you created them and their hearts are before you. You know everything under earth, in heaven, wherever. I pray this morning, Lord, this word I've spoken to my dear and honorable men and women in this church, let it be a blessing to them. Let them make a choice of obeying you, God, and doing what they have heard. I know from my spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are speaking to me. You have given this word because you want to bless this church. And you are saying you want to bless this church that they will have no room to accommodate the blessings that you will give them. Father, as I close my eyes, I see ahead of me a bigger place, bigger than this one. This place times six as a church for these people. You want to bless them with a bigger place of their own where they can be meeting for service. You bless them with the source. You bless them with people, Almighty God. And they realize, Almighty God, Durban is the strongest area in authority in the governing of this country. I discovered that in my spirit. But Lord, you say you are breaking that in order to bring people. You are humbling the people to come to you. But these are the people you want to use to reach out to those people. It's just their testimony, what you have done upon them. The testimony is enough to bring those people to you, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that the enemy will not take part in this business. This is a business between you and your people. I pray, God, hold on to them. Let them cling to you. Let them, Father, be like Isaiah. We said, here I am, Lord, send me. Let them confess like that, that Lord, send me. Lord, send my purse. Lord, send my wallet. Lord, send my car. Lord, send my house. Here I am. I'm prepared. Use me. Together we shall see your glory in Durban. Maybe you are there. You have clearly the head in your spirit. The word of God is speaking to you. And you say, I want to respond to this word. Can you please stand up that we can pray together? Maybe you are here. You are here and you have read the word of God and you are saying, I want to respond to God's word. Remember, I'm speaking to the believers. But you want to respond to God. Say, Lord, here I am. Use me. If you are there and you are that a person, you say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I ask you to stand on your feet that we can pray together. Thank you so much. May God bless you, wonderful people. Let me invite Pastor Manas. Please hear the mic.